Some people learn from the mistakes of others. Unfortunately, some people have to be the others. Hi, I'm Rob West. Well, you certainly don't want to be one of the others, folks who have to learn things the hard way by making mistakes. Today, I'll talk to Ron Blue about some of the biggest financial mistakes you'll want to avoid. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Okay, once again, financial teacher and author and my good friend Ron Blue joins us. He's a busy guy, so it's always a treat when he takes time from his day to join us. Ron, great to have you back on the program.
Well, as always, Rob, I look forward to it.
Ron, we're talking financial mistakes, so let's be honest. I mean, you're Ron Blue, the money guy. Have you really made a financial mistake?
Well, see, this is Tuesday, so I haven't made many yet this week, but I have made probably some.
I love it. You're always humble. Hey, you've written about these mistakes that you and I have both made, and let's look at a few of them today from your book, Master Your Money, A Step-by-Step Plan for Experiencing Financial Contentment. By the way, if you haven't read it, it's a must read. So, Ron, what's the first financial mistake on your list?
Well, really, the first one is to establish your goals. You know, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time.
Yeah.
And goals help put boundaries around your spending and put priorities in the right order around your spending. So Judy and I used to take two goal-setting weekends a year. I say used to, it was because when we had the children, it was more important or more urgent than it is today. But goals would be the first one.
Yeah, that's really important. I know another one you mentioned, Ron, is having what you call a consumptive lifestyle. What is that and how do we avoid it?
Well, a consumptive lifestyle is really one that is significantly beyond what you really need.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just reading this morning in my quiet time about greed. Hmm. And all of us suffer from the temptation of greed. You know, for men, maybe it's a new car. For women, perhaps it's a new dress or something. But and they're not wrong. But we tend to overspend in many ways and have a consumptive lifestyle. And by consumptive, I mean you're spending it on things that are consumed. Therefore, they're not building any equity other than perhaps memories. But they're not building equity in your finances. So that's a biggie.
Yeah, it sure is. Ron, you mentioned greed. Just one thought on that. Do you think it's possible to attempt to redeem greed in the name of the American dream?
Oh, yeah, I do. You know, it's I haven't talked a lot about greed over my career, Rob, but for some reason, the last couple of years, I've become more and more aware. I think it's of the fact that greed really is existent.
Yeah.
Tim Keller said, yeah, I've had every sin confess in my study with the exception of greed.
Oh, wow.
We don't tend to look at things. The motive is something other than perhaps spiritual or family or something that's more important. So
yeah,
not having a budget is the way to avoid that.
Well, let's talk about that because I know you say that's another one of those biggies in terms of financial mistakes. Why is that so key?
Well, you know, a budget, people tend to think of it as something being constraining, and yet it's not. It's something that's freeing because it's pre-planned expenses. For example, I'm going to take a vacation. Am I saving for that vacation so that when it comes, I take the vacation, which is certainly okay, because it was in my budget?
Yeah.
Do I have a budget for the emergencies that are going to occur? Car repairs, broken dishwasher, whatever it may be. I need to have the contingencies built into my thinking also to be realistic.
Yes.
And very few people operate off of a budget, but I say a budget is really just pre-planned spending, and it's a freeing thing to have rather than a restrictive.
Ron, just a few seconds left. You say giving is one of the mistakes that we make. Why so?
Well, people tend to think of giving as giving out of surplus rather than out of income. And I think that if you don't tithe, you're not experiencing financial freedom.
Wow.
And I think God wants us to tithe, not because he needs the money, but he needs your heart.
Well said, Ron. We're going to have to leave it there. Thanks for stopping by.
Well, thank you for having me, Rob.
That's Ron Blue. He's been our guest today. You can read a lot more in his book, Master Your Money. Your calls are next. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you ever stopped to wonder what motivates pregnant mothers? Think about all the troubles they go through. Morning sickness is only the tip of the iceberg. What keeps these women going is the anticipation of holding the life that is currently in the womb. In a similar way, our Lord Jesus Christ lived with anticipation as he approached his death. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." But what was that joy? It was the joy of accomplishing his Father's will and saving his people. In a sense, we can say that's what motivated Jesus through his suffering. It was you and me. He came to earth with a mission to save us, and he wouldn't stop until his joy was complete. Get daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Bro, no way that just happened.
Yeah, this radio is old, man.
Wait, you have Roku, don't you?
Yeah, but how's that gonna help us?
Dude, AFR's on Roku now.
Oh, seriously?
Yes, where's your remote? All right, here we go.
We're in the same,
You are a genius.
Oh, yeah.
American Family Radio, available on Apple and Android products, Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio, where we apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles, the practical ideas to the decisions and choices you're making today. We'd love to help you. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. You're welcome to give us a call. Again, 800-525-7000. Perhaps you've seen how these principles have worked out in your financial life and you'd like to share that with us today. We'd love to hear that as well. Again, the number with lines open is 800-525-7000. Also on today's broadcast, we'll tackle a couple of your emails. We receive emails all the time from you at askrob@faithfi.com. You're welcome to send a question along to have it read on the air. Again, askrob@faithfi.com. Today, we'll talk about specifically, should you take money out of a 401k to pay off high interest loans? That's a question that came to us from Ted. I'll weigh in on that today. Plus, again, your phone calls. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's begin today in Florida. Hi, Jay. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, how can I help?
Yeah, I just had some questions. I listened to you yesterday, and I have a financial advisor. My wife and I have a what I consider a nice amount of money when we've had a financial advice for maybe 20 years or more. I just wondered if you had suggestions. We're believers, wife and I are believers, of some investors that are, you know, Christian, and that you have a list or recommend. I don't know if you recommend, but I'd be interested in knowing who you might recommend or who you have on your list that's good.
Yes. And are you talking specifically, Jay, about mutual fund companies that have a faith-based approach, or advisors that could serve you with investment and financial planning advice, or both?
Well, I'm talking about investing in stocks.
Okay.
And bonds, and the company that I'm with invests through Fidelity.
Yes.
So I'm not quite sure what you would call that.
Okay. Yeah. Very good.
They're not. I don't invest the money myself. I have hired them to do it.
Sure. Yeah. Very good. Well, Fidelity would be a very popular and respected brokerage firm that a lot of independent advisors will use to custody the assets of their clients. And then it provides the trading platform for them to make buying and selling decisions for their clients in whatever investments they choose, whether that's individual stocks and bonds or mutual funds or exchange traded funds or even other alternative type investments. So I love the fact that you are using an advisor, Jay. You've built up a nest egg. You're not going to kind of put this on autopilot. You've delegated this to somebody who hopefully has a good understanding of who you are and what God's doing in your life in this season, and how that relates to the investments that have been selected, starting with your values and then allowing your investments to be an expression of that, both in terms of how much risk you take in exchange for how much reward you're seeking, as well as the types of investments that you're choosing. If you have a good relationship with an advisor, it sounds like it's longstanding, that's great. There's no reason to disrupt that. When you ask about alignment of your investments with your faith, I think that gets into a newer area, if you will, of the investing landscape, where there is the ability to either avoid certain companies based on a misalignment with your values, and this really needs to be derived from your own personal conviction. Nobody should tell you which companies you should own or not own. That really is something I think you need to consider prayerfully before the Lord. And so based on those convictions of you or you and your wife, you can avoid certain companies, or you can embrace other companies where they have a specific purpose to either promote human flourishing or even perhaps a kingdom impact. And that's under an umbrella called faith-based investing, which is a very exciting kind of new opportunity right now with our investments. And you can either do that through individual stock ownership, where the investment advisor would understand this and have a process to help you either screen out or screen in or both those companies that would end up in your portfolio that would be more aligned with your values. Or he or she could use faith-based investing mutual funds, where the specific charge of the mutual fund is not only to provide an appropriate and return for the clients, but where there's a faith-based investing approach embedded in what they do. And either of those approaches would satisfy what you're looking for. The key would be, is your advisor positioned to offer these types of investments, to go through a discovery process to help you determine your convictions and then select only those investments that align with your values, if that's what you're looking for? Have you had that conversation with your advisor, Jay?
No, the advisor we have actually is a member of a church that we attend when we're in the north. So he's a believer.
Great.
But we are kind of disappointed in what has happened in the last 3 or 4 years,
yeah,
with some of the investments. For instance, when the bank in California was closed, we had stock in another bank out there. I did. I mean, the investment people put all their investors in another bank, or were in another bank stock. And so instantly they sold that out at a loss of of over 600.
Yes.
So I'm kind of looking for more advisors that we can maybe talk to.
Yeah. And very good.
To see what performance has been in the past.
Yeah. So I think you've got a couple of options here. One is to approach your current advisor and just make sure you express the concern that you have, the disappointment you have in perhaps decisions that have been made. Kind of talk through that and see if you come to a place where you feel better about the relationship moving forward so you could stay right where you're at. As a part of that, you could also introduce this idea of having an investment strategy that not only reflects your desire to grow this wealth and protect it in light of your age and risk tolerance, goals and objectives, but also that you're interested in bringing a faith-based approach into the investment selection as well, just to see if that's something that he can offer. The second approach would be, and perhaps you do both of these, to seek out, as you said, a couple of other advisors that could be, you could interview to see if perhaps there's a better fit. Now, we recommend the Certified Kingdom Advisor designation. It's the only industry designation that's widely accepted for advisors that specifically have been trained and met high standards in bringing advice and investing that aligns with the values and priorities of Christians. There's 1,350 certified Kingdom advisors across the country, and you could do a search based on a zip code and find a list of CKAs in whatever area you're interested in searching, and then perhaps set up an appointment to interview two or three and find the one that's the best fit for you. Jay, you would do that at our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com, and you could just click the button at the top that says Find a CKA. Is that helpful?
Yeah, but what was the state? You say stay?
Certified Kingdom Advisor is the name of the designation. The website is faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And then just click the button that says Find a CKA, Certified Kingdom Advisor. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Very good. Jay, let us know how it turns out. If we can help you further, don't hesitate to give us a call. 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice. And is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day. Banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put just, back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Sandy Rios, AFA's Director of Governmental Affairs and the host of the podcast Sandy Rios 24/7.
For 40-plus years, American Family Association has been fighting for biblical values in America. We've been here to shine the light of Christ into a dark world and to stand against the evil of the day. One vital way that you can join forces with us is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got some lines open today, perhaps one just for you. What's that financial question you've been thinking about? We'd love to help you run that through a biblical worldview, see if we can apply some principles from God's Word to your questions to help you make decisions and choices with confidence. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Tracy. How can I help today?
Hello. I have a question about my mother-in-law. She has a credit card that she has run up to over $5,000. She has dementia, and we didn't realize that she was using this credit card. We didn't even know she had a credit card, and she has run the total up so high that there is no way she's going to be able to pay for it. And I do understand that she probably needs to pay the what's required, but I was wondering if there's something that a credit card company has that maybe they forgive a debt for an elderly person.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry to hear about this, Tracy. I know this can, I suspect it's weighing on you. It may be weighing on her. And I realize that, due to, mental illness, this can be challenging. I'm not aware of, anything that allows someone specifically with dementia or something similar to get out of responsibility for a debt. This is often even true for someone who really loses mental capacity to manage their own money. They're still responsible for that debt. And I realize that's really challenging. So obviously, now that you all are aware of it, I think the key is to really cut off access to those funds for the ability to charge additional dollars. What is the status of these now? Is she or you on her behalf paying at least the minimums right now, or have these gotten into a past due status?
No, we pay the minimum right now.
Okay.
And we cut up the credit card. She didn't even know that she probably had a credit card. She doesn't know that she had the credit card debt. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, we just know about it, and it comes to our house, and we pay her bills for her now.
Okay.
Paying the minimum.
Yeah, and does she have enough money coming in to be able to cover her bills, or you on her behalf to be able to cover the bills plus these credit cards, or are you all supplementing that?
No, she's paying her bills. We are paying her bills for her. She does have enough money to pay her bills.
Okay.
But she doesn't have any excess to pay the credit card debt.
Sure. Well, given that this, may be with us for a long time, maybe for the rest of her life, obviously at that point, as long as there's not somebody else on the account, then, it would be either paid out of the estate to cover the debt, or it would just be written off. I think the key is, if you're going to keep it current, and I like the fact that you're doing that, I'd probably put it into a debt management program. Are you familiar with that term, either debt management or credit counseling?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So what would happen there, Tracy, is, as you probably know, the account would be closed, which is fine. You've already cut up the cards anyway. The nice thing is the interest rates would be reduced. So essentially that same monthly payment that you're making on her behalf using her funds would be going largely to principal, or at least certainly more than today, versus to interest, because you'll have a lower interest rate. And with that fixed monthly payment, as those balances come down, through the combination of the compounding effect, the snowball effect, because now you're sending a larger percentage of the balance every month because you're not dropping the payment as the balance comes down. That combined with the lower interest rate will allow you to pay this off 80% faster. So if there is a chance that it could be paid off, putting it into a debt management program will get you headed in that direction. And the nice thing is you wouldn't have to, you know, and I wouldn't recommend this even if you could, but we're not talking about going out and qualifying for a new loan to come in and pay this off. It would stay right where it is with the original creditor, but through the combination of that fixed payment and those lower interest rates, at least you'll be making more progress every month than you are today. And I would recommend our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Okay?
Okay. All right. That sounds great. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Tracy. We appreciate your call today very much. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open for your questions today. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. Let's head to North Carolina. Hi, Tom. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great.
I have a couple hundred thousand in IRAs. I'm 75 years old. I don't expect to spend that money, but I'm wondering, is there anything I could do to lessen the tax burden on my children in my passing?
Well, there's not going to be a tax burden. There essentially is no estate tax or for you to pay until your estate gets up, at least this year, to over $12 million. And they're not going to have to pay any tax on it as they receive it. Now, through an inherited IRA, obviously, as they take it out, well, at that point, it would be taxable. So it's not taxed at the inheritance level because there's not one. It would just be taxed only as it comes out of the IRA. You know, I think at this point, I would just continue to manage that as effectively as you can. As you said, you probably don't need it. So your ability to grow it would give them, you know, a great nest egg to be able to have. And in terms of anything you can do to be able to give them to that, you know, that those funds to them tax free, it would require you to pull the money out and pay tax on it. So it's really not accomplishing any purpose in doing that. So I think your best option at this point would be to continue the tax deferral by leaving it right where it is, invest it, manage it wisely to grow it so that you can, you know, pass as big of a nest egg as possible to them, and they'll just pay tax on it as ordinary income when it comes out.
So I should move that CD that's paying nothing over into something that's doing a little bit, generated more than a little bit more profit, right?
I think that's right. Yeah, you know, you've got time in the sense that if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, we need this money to last a long time. You don't need it. So you can take a long time horizon where, you know, as long as we're looking at 8 to 10 years, although none of us know when the Lord's coming back, at least you would know that it's growing, it's outpacing inflation. So you can either manage that yourself or connect with a certified Kingdom advisor on our website at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And click Find a CKA. Thanks for your call, Tom. God bless you, sir, and we'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White.
Hannah took her pain to God, and God heard her and was with her.
Hannah's Heart helps couples process infertility and miscarriage through a biblical lens. Join us Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. Find the podcast at afr.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM. Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Back to the phones we go to Iowa. Hi, John. Thanks for calling, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, Rob. Question is, I'm in a great position where I get to inherit some farmland from my parents when they pass. Situation is, though, I get 100 acres, and then I also get my sister's 100 acres because my parents want me to have the farmland, and I'm supposed to pay my sister out for her 100 acres.
Yeah.
Trouble is, my question is, do I have to pay capital gains on that? Because my parents bought the land years ago when it might have been worth $1,000. Yeah. Now, in some places close to me, it's worth $16,000.
Yeah. Well, one of the nice things is that for heirs of farm assets or really any other asset, under the current law, the tax basis for that is adjusted to the fair market value at the date of death if it's an inheritance. So as a result, the gain in the value of that assets that occurred during your parents' life is not taxed because you get and enjoy that stepped up cost basis as of the date of death. So if you were to turn around and liquidate all or a portion of that farmland at essentially the same market value that was established as of the date of death, because you did that immediately, then you would have no capital gains whatsoever. And then you could turn around and make a gift if you wanted to your sister.
That's a lot better than I thought my options were. That's great. So the basis will start over then. It's kind of like a restart.
Yeah, it steps up to the market, the true market value of the asset as of the date of death. And so any gain, capital gain or loss from the date of death forward would be realized at the point of sale. But if it's essentially done simultaneously or within a very short period of time, there would naturally be very little gain, if any.
Right. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's wonderful. Thank you so much, Rob.
All right, John. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's head to Illinois. Hi, Barbara. Thank you for being on the program. Go right ahead.
Hello, Ron. Thank you very much. Enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Question I have is, I have a brother who has credit card debt. He's about 6 hours away, and he will want to move down here in the next few years.
Yeah.
If he would do the credit counseling and get in a plan, does that sort of put him in a bankruptcy position that he would not be able to borrow any money for 7 years?
No, not at all. In fact, the fact that you're in credit counseling is not a part of the credit scoring algorithm. So any change to his credit score would only come by virtue of the fact that when you enter credit counseling, that account is closed. So anytime you were to close an account, you know, that would have a minor effect on your credit report because that perhaps is being removed from your credit history. It's going to change your credit utilization. So if he owes balances on other accounts, it might make them a higher percentage of his overall limit. But that would be true anytime you close a credit card. I will say that there will be a notation on the credit report that he's in a debt management program. And a lender could choose to use that information however they want. But again, it's not in and of itself a part of the credit scoring formula. When is he planning on moving, did you say?
I think it will be a few years. It could be three or, okay, or more.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say, in my view, the benefits of getting in this and getting these cards, you know, paid down or paid off is far outweighs any potential, you know, impact of the participation in the program on his credit, because as I said, it's not a part of the scoring algorithm, and it's going to have a minimal impact, certainly not anywhere close to a late payment or a charge off or a bankruptcy.
When he works with credit counseling, they negotiate with the credit card company, and then is the interest rate lower, did I understand?
It is not through negotiation, though, Barbara. Each of the creditors establish in advance their credit counseling interest rate, which is lower than their prevailing rate. So, yes, there will be a reduction, but based on which creditors he has accounts with, the credit counseling agency, we recommend Christian credit counselors, they'll just let him know, based on the accounts he has, what the new interest rates will be. It's not a negotiated process. It's already been determined. So that's why I'd recommend he reach out to them. They'll, through the initial consultation, help him determine what his new interest rates will be, what his monthly payment will be, and then he'd be able to make a decision on whether or not to proceed.
So just look up ChristianCreditCounseling.com?
.org, Christian Credit Counselors, plural, ChristianCreditCounselors.org. And they've worked with hundreds and hundreds of our listeners, Barbara, and these are wonderful, godly people that just want to serve believers with help in getting out of debt, and this is my preferred way. If you have more than $4,000 in credit card debt, I find this is the way to go. If you have less than $4,000, you can often just snowball it on your own, but more than four, this is my preferred approach to get it paid off once and for all.
Well, I will be happy because I think the interest is eating him alive, and he's a good person. He's a contractor. He helps people, and I thank you for taking this call and giving me this information. I appreciate it.
You are very welcome, Barbara. If we can help further, don't hesitate to reach out. May the Lord bless you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's take an email. These come into us every day at askrob@faithfi.com. Feel free to send your question along. This comes from Ted. He says, is it okay to take a loan from a 401k to consolidate and pay off other high-interest loans? I wouldn't advise that, Ted. Let me give you a few reasons for that. First, if for any reason you're unable to make the payments on the 401k loan, it will be counted as a distribution. You'll have to pay taxes. And if you're not yet 59 and a half, you'd add to that a 10% penalty. Second, if you lose the time you spent earning and contributing the money to the 401k, you can't get that back. So even though it's only a loan, that money won't be earning you anything because it's essentially no longer in your 401k during the term of the loan. And especially right now, while the market is down, I don't want you to miss the recovery when that occurs. When we're done with this cycle of Fed raising rates and they're out of the way, this market, in my view, is going to move higher. It always does. We've never gone through a recession where we didn't move to new highs. And I don't want your money to be out during that time. time. And then third, and this might be the biggest one, it really doesn't address the underlying problem, which is often overspending that led you to the debt in the first place. So you could just double your debt if you're not living on a budget with your spending under control. You might write us 6 months or a year from now and say, well, guess what, Rob? Now I have the 401k loan and the consumer debt is back, and that wouldn't help you in any way, shape, or form. So what I would do, Ted, is just go back to your budget, limit your lifestyle, reduce spending, try to free up margin or surplus. If it's credit card debt, I'd visit with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. If it's other types of debt, I'd just snowball it, smallest to largest balance, attack the one that's the smallest balance, and then kind of move right down the line. And by doing that hard work and getting it paid off and correcting the problem that got you there in the first place and not taking the money out of the 401k so it can recover with the market, I think you'll be in a much better shape. A quick break and back with your calls just after this. We'll be right back.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances. And FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit FaithFi.com and click Give on the homepage.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions here in our final segment today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You know, often we talk about developing an eternal mindset on this program, really counteracting the messages of this world that drive us toward a temporal perspective. Matthew 13:44 says, listen to this, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. And then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." You know, when we view our earthly wealth with a biblical worldview, we begin to value eternity over our present reality. When we realize that eternity is our purpose and that God is enough, we then can be content no matter our circumstances. You see, very few can handle riches. The Bible is very clear of that. It says money is not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And so we need to be on our guard against the love of money. The Bible is very clear about that. It can be one of those competitors to lordship in our life. But if we approach it through a biblical worldview, we understand that God is our treasure and eternity is our home, and we need to be focused there. Yes, we live in the here and now, and we need to be faithful stewards right now of God's resources, But when we shape our minds and our perspective around the things that are eternal, it does change how we approach daily spending and financial decisions, because then we understand God owns it all and we're stewards. Money then is a tool and we're to hold it loosely so we can give it generously. And that's really the key to growing in intimacy with the Father. And that's certainly our prayer for you on this program each day. Hey, we've got a few lines open today. We'd love to take a couple of additional questions between now and the end of the broadcast. With whatever you're thinking about financially today, you can call 800-525-7000. Pat is standing by. We'll get you on quickly, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. A quick email. This one came to us at askrob@faithfi.com. Kim writes, "We want to do what is right. We make our daughter's house payment for her, which includes taxes and insurance. She considers it part of her inheritance. Can we claim this as a gift to her on our taxes? And can they claim the mortgage interest on their taxes at the same time? Thank you in advance for your assistance. I love your program." Thanks, Kim, for writing to us. You really don't want to claim these payments as gifts because there's no deduction for that. She's, of course, not a qualified nonprofit, so you'll have to claim them if you pay more than $17,000 a year as a gift. You'd use IRS gift form 709 for that. You still won't have to pay any taxes unless you exceed your lifetime exemption, which today sits at north of $12 million. So not any benefit. It's really just a reporting mechanism over that $17,000 a year. If you're married, you could give her $34,000 a year, $17,000 apiece, without notifying the IRS, because that's under the annual gift exclusion. But again, no tax benefit there. Now, if you're giving your daughter the money and then she makes the payment, she can certainly claim the interest deduction, but she can only do that if she's able to itemize her taxes. Keep in mind, 90% of folks are no longer able to itemize because of the higher standard deduction, which for 2023 is sitting at $27,700 if she's married filing jointly. So a decent likelihood she's not going to be able to claim that. If she does itemize, of course she could, because she's receiving that money as a gift. And then she could then obviously make the payment. The mortgage is in her name, and it doesn't matter that the source of those funds was from you. She gets the benefit of that deduction if she's able to take it, but you all really don't get any benefit by making that a gift to her. So hope that helps you, Kim. We appreciate you listening to the program, and thank you for your kind remarks today. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We may be able to get to one or two more questions today. If you have one, we'd love to tackle it. You know, so often we hear from folks asking about money and marriage. You know, 70% of married couples have conflict over money. And we know that, well, we don't have to look far to experience that. I mean, Julie and I certainly have over the years had conflict around money. And, you know, despite the fact that we always work through it, it's just there, right? It can be one of those charged topics. So how do you get past that? What does that look like? Well, I think it starts with going way back to really understand not only how God has wired you, but how money was handled growing up. As you think about, you know, money, what are your earliest memories of money? And how does that shape how you view and handle money today? If you haven't gone through that exercise, it might be a worthwhile exercise. Was money scarce? Was it plentiful? That shapes how you view money today. Did your parents operate on a budget, or was there, you know, excess spending? Was there a consumptive lifestyle that was modeled? Was there any discussion of a biblical worldview of money? You know, all of that shapes kind of how tightly we hold money or how loosely we hold money in our lives today. Well, understanding that and then coming together as husband and wife to talk about that, I think can provide a really helpful foundation to understanding how you make decisions and how together you all better reflect the mind and the heart of Christ as two become one flesh. Now, what's the key to overcoming conflict? Well, my friend Shanti Feldhahn, the researcher in the book Thriving in Love and Money, among other things, says that really two key ideas help to overcome conflict in your financial life, in your marriage. Number one is communication, and that won't be a surprise to you. We need to have communication in all areas of our life, but that includes this area of money management, which is why we recommend a monthly, at a minimum, money date where you're not pointing fingers, but where you're course correcting, talking about your plan, updating your goals, looking at your spending for the month, just fostering communication. But then secondly is margin, the ability to live below your means. It's not a matter of your income level that helps you to overcome conflict. It's a matter of whatever your income level is, you're living below it. And what Shanti found is that really the margin being present was key to creating the right foundation to have a healthy communication around money. So lean into that. Talk about how money was handled growing up. Set a money date to foster communication and go back to your spending plan and create margin. And I think if you do those things, you may find that it makes a radical difference in how you approach money in marriage. I hope that's helpful to you. All right, back to the phones we go to Illinois. Hi, Leland. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning. I've got two questions. One is I have $36,000 I'd like to invest in a non-risk investment, and my brother has $90,000 he'd like to put in a non-risk investment. What would you advise, sir?
Yeah. So when you say a non-risk investment, I mean, oftentimes we think of bank products then. You know, right now CDs are, you know, fairly attractive where they haven't been in the past. You could get with FDIC insurance. You could ladder this. So you could look at a 6 month, a 12 month, and an 18 month CD, a third, a third, a third. And then every time one comes due, you could roll it over into another 18 months to take advantage of higher rates because we anticipate we're going to see some additional rate hikes throughout the balance of the year. That would be guaranteed. Money that you know, you wouldn't have the risk of loss, and it you know, would give you a fairly attractive rate of return. Another option for at least $10,000 of this for this calendar year would be through I-bonds, inflation bonds, backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, paying 6.82% right now. You'd get that for the next 6 months, and then it would adjust to whatever the new rate is based on the consumer price index that would be out at the end of April, and we'd know that new rate in May. But that's a fairly attractive return. You can only put in up to $10,000. You can buy the electronic bonds at treasurydirect.gov, and it's got to stay in there for at least 12 months. But, you know, that's a essentially risk-free, you know, investment with a fairly attractive return. Beyond that, you could look at U.S. Treasuries or money market would be some other options. How does that sound, though?
Okay, two questions. Well, same question. Are the CDs and the I-bonds biblically correct? And especially like the I-bonds dealing with the government, I've heard about those on your program before, and I just had reservations, you know, investing with our government.
Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately a personal conviction between you and the Lord that you would have to wrestle through. Personally, I wouldn't have a problem. In fact, I own some I-bonds, you know, extending this money to the government in exchange for the return. I mean, we're a part of the U.S. banking system. Doesn't mean we agree with all the decisions that are being made by the Fed or the government or Congress by any stretch, but we're a part of this banking system. And, you know, if we want to put God's money to work, we see that clearly in God's word through the parable of the talents. And so whether you're investing in corporations, you know, we don't have godly corporations and ungodly corporations. We have people running companies, and those people are making decisions that either align or misalign with our values. And so we choose based on our own personal convictions which companies we're investing in. I think the same applies with the U.S. government. If you have a conviction not to place debt with the U.S. government to be able to get a return on it, then I'd say avoid it. But if you pray through that and you feel like you're okay proceeding there, then I would certainly proceed, as I said, I have, and come to that conviction that I'm comfortable with that. What are your thoughts?
Okay, one other thing. I heard you say a couple, two or three days ago, that $100,000 in one particular investment, I believe, would yield $600 a month. What would that have been?
Well, that would be a Yeah, $600 a month. I'm not sure. It'd probably be a, I mean, that's a 6% rate of return. So I'm not sure. There's nothing that offers a guaranteed 6% other than the I-bonds right now. I've got to wrap up the program. All right. Hey, I appreciate your call today. Call back sometime, Leland. Let's talk some more. Well, we're so grateful for you being along today. Grateful for Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Robert Sutherland serving me so well today. Thank you for being along here. We'll look for you next time, tomorrow, on the next edition of Faith and Finance. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.